Good morning, Salem.
Morning.
It's great to see you on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I hope that you've protected yourself from the heat. But believe me, I'm not complaining. I'd rather take this than what we had about 14 weeks ago where we were knee-deep in snow. But hoping that you're enjoying this beautiful day, this beautiful weekend that we've been blessed with. If you're able, rise with us. And we're going to usher in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Here we go.
One, two.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, that men would praise his name to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. That's what I want to declare this morning, that we will praise him, that Jesus is with us. We in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those that trust in the Lord, your strength shall be renewed. You'll be like a tree near the waters, fortified, standing strong and firm. Hallelujah. Let's declare that this morning. Come on, you can clap your hands if you want. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Those who trust in the Lord, come on, sing it out, are a strong mountain. They will not,
no, no, no,
they will not be moved. Come on, sing it again. Those who trust, those who trust in the Lord. Yeah, sounds good. Sing it out. Our strong mountain, are a strong mountain. They will not. That's us, saints. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. They will not,
no, no, no,
they will not be moved. Though the world moves like that,
and though the world moves like that,
you alone are faithful.
Strong mountain.
hands together, giving praise in this place. Make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. That is what's true about our God. He is a strong, strong tower that we can rush to, especially in the times that we live in now, where we're at odds with one another. Hatred seems to be growing, division. Though the world moves like mad, Lord God, you are faithful. Amen? Amen. Only few people will really agree with that. I think there's more of us in here than that. Amen? Amen. So God is faithful, and it's through his love that we experience the joy of the Lord each and every single day, through one another, through the people we meet, through the words that are spoken, and it's through that joy that I want to celebrate this morning. Though the world moves like mad, he is faithful. Hallelujah. It comes from Jesus.
From the Lord, there's no peace like the peace that only comes from Jesus. There's no power like the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no love like his loving kindness.
His loving kindness. Go on, sing it again. There's no joy.
There's no joy like the joy from the Lord. There's no peace like the peace that only comes from Jesus. There's no power like the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no love like his loving kindness.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Come on, sing.
Jesus, Jesus, it comes from Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, it comes from Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
above and there is none. Everybody needs to know Jesus.
Like and there's no other, above and there is none. Everybody needs to know, everybody needs to know Jesus.
Give him praise in this place. Those wonderful things come from him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to end our time of worship, and I really am going to need your help this morning to sing this truth this morning. So I'm sure that you'll all recognize the song. So please, sing it out in glory. Come on, church, take it. Say,
a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. An heir of salvation, purchased of God. Oh, yeah. And born of his spirit, and washed in his blood. And this is my story, and this is my song, and praising my Savior in all the day long. Yeah. And this is my story. And praising my Savior and all the day long. Yeah.
Oh, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of a Savior, in all the day long.
Amen? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Please, let's extend a hand to one another. Let's welcome each other into the house of the Lord. You can be seated. It is hot in here.
Yeah,
holy buckets.
It is hot.
Come up and join me for a few moments. Come on up. I'm Pastor Mark Patty. If I haven't met you before, the senior pastor here. And it's my delight to talk to the kids for just a few moments. If you'd come up. We got any kids here want to come up? Hear a story? Come on up. Hi. Oh, fantastic. Oh, good morning. Say good morning back. Good morning. Great to see all of you. You know, summer is a time for a lot of different things that we don't get to do in the winter, like weeding. I don't know if you help your parents weed or, you know, but also some fun things like, well, swimming, right? And going in the water. Here in Minnesota, there are lakes and things. And I remember this one boy named Brian, when he was wanting to go swimming for the first time, he was probably maybe even a little smaller than you guys, right around your age. But his mom took him down to this lake, and he wanted to learn how to swim. And so he stepped into the water with his mom. And it was cold. Have you ever stepped into a lake and it's cold? Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe not. And his mom said, no, come on. And so they took another step, and the water got higher and higher the further in they went, until it was like right up to his chin. And he's like, okay, mom, I think this is far. Is this swimming? And She said, nope, you're not swimming yet. Here, tell you what, I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm just going to pull you along through the water so you'll feel yourself going through the water. So she pulled Brian up, and then she went shh, like that, and he could stand back up. Have you ever done that where your parents or somebody pulled you through the water, and then you stopped? Well, she did that again and again, and he's like, this is great. I love swimming. She said, well, you're not swimming quite yet. Now what I want you to do is I'm going to hold on to you underneath on your chest, and I want you to start kicking while I pull you along. And so she had her hands underneath of him, and Brian started to kick his feet, and they went faster and faster, and he went shh. And she said, okay, now I want you to start paddling, kick and paddle while I'm holding on to you. So he starts doing this, and he starts kicking, and she's going like that around the water, and then she started to let go. And he started to sink. And she said, no, 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 no. Come on. You got to kick and paddle. I'm right here. And she went around, and he's paddling. And then she started to let go again. And she said, paddle, paddle. And Mom, you got to hold on to me. She said, no, I'm right here. You can trust me, but I want you to learn how to swim, okay? So you got to paddle, paddle, kick, kick, kick. Ready? Here we go. And he said, no, I'm not ready. And she let go again. And he started paddling. But pretty soon, he was starting to do this and to kick so much that she hardly had to hold on to him at all. Well, it took him a while to really learn how to swim well, but he learned that day the most important thing that he keeps learning, and, well, we keep learning about God. It's that while we're learning things, and when we get scared, and when God helps us, and when we get scared, and when that through it all, we can trust God. Did you know that? That you can trust God? Just like Brian learned not only how to swim, but that he could trust his mom. He could trust her to pick him back up when he needed to be picked back up, and to let go so that he could learn how to swim and to pick him back up. And for us, I want you to remember that. That it's not just Brian's mom who learns, but that's fantastic that you can kick. Oh, I love it. And what I want you to learn is not just how to kick in the water, but how to trust God. Because God, just like Brian's mom, God is always there for you. Okay? Can you remember that? Can you even say that with me? God is always there. God is always there. He loves you, and he'll always be there for you. Let's pray for just a minute. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here with us right now and always. That we can trust you when we're learning new things. We can trust you when we get scared. We can trust you when things go really well. We can trust you all the time because you are near us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up. Anybody up through pre-kindergarten can go ahead to Children's Church, or you can go back with your families, okay? Up through pre-kindergarten can go with your parents.
And parents, you do need to accompany your kids if they're headed downstairs for their time. So, all right, great. Well, welcome to Salem Covenant. You want to give the kids just a round of applause? It's so wonderful, you guys, when you join in the children's sermon. We love it. My name is John Afonso. I'm one of the pastors here at Salem, and it's just my pleasure to welcome you. So glad you're here. If you notice, our numbers are a little thin today. That's because we have 39 students and 12 adult volunteers at our youth conference called CHICK down in Tennessee. So if you think you're hot and it's humid, you just wait till you hear stories from them. It's really hot and humid in Tennessee. We want to be praying for them this week. We're just praying that it's a transformative time for our youth lives. Often when you're in your teen years, trajectories are being set, and they may seem like slight corrections now, but if you follow that trajectory for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the place where you land is a long distance from where you would have been. So we're praying for those kind of moments for the students where they just align themselves more fully with God. And of course, for our adult volunteers, they have stamina, energy, and they drink a lot of water this week. So be in prayer for them. If you're a visitor with us today, special welcome to you. Back on our bookshelf back here, we have some mugs for you. Will you please grab one on your way out? Just a way of saying thanks for being with us. It's got some drinks in it, a little info about our community. So just pick that up. And then I'd love to guide you to the registration pads at the edge of your row. Some of you may have put it on the floor even when you sat down. If you could grab that and right now and take it out and fill it out, go ahead and write in your name and then pass it down the row. And then if you remember to pass it back, it's kind of nice. You can glance at it and just see who's sitting in the row with you so that you kind of get to know a little bit of who you're worshiping with. This is also a time in your bulletin that you received to receive a connection card. Those cards are a way of communicating with the staff in a little larger church. So if you have a prayer request, maybe a praise, you've got a question, you want to sign up for something, just fill out that connection card. You can drop it in the offering at the end of our service or leave it with an usher on your way out. And we staff will look at those right away on Monday morning. So just a couple things to highlight happening this week. We have our annual meeting on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And that's a time where the church body gathers and we do some family business together. We approve budgets and we vote in new members. But perhaps more importantly, this time around, or as important, we've had a task force that's been looking at our facility and we're experiencing a lot of growth here at Salem. And there are questions about what do we do? We're just bursting at the seams here. And that team has been looking at that for several months and they've got some recommendations. So I just invite you, if you're a member, please be there because you're voting in some things. But even if you're not, if you just consider this your home church, please come on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and help us think through a little bit of how we're going to respond to this generous gift of growth from God in terms of our facility. So it'll be a great night. I also want to let you know, tables of nine, this is a chance to get together with eight other people who attend Salem for dinner. That registration ends today. So there'll be a table right outside these doors over here. If you'd like to have dinner with some fellow Salem attenders and get to know some folks, please just sign up. You can sign up to host or just attend one of those dinners. Do that today. And then a quick reminder, too, we've got a children and family picnic next week. So it'll be right after this service at 11:30 in our back lawn. Please come bring a picnic. They'll have games and dessert and some drinks for you. Please come and join in. Again, just another chance to connect as family and enjoy the summer. Well, blessings to you. I've gotten to hear this sermon once, and it's a good one. Welcome up, Mark. If it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jonna. You know, as I'm preparing to preach right now, one of the things that's on my mind is that my daughter Lauren is preaching her first ever sermon at First Covenant Church in Seattle sometime around now. So as we pray for me as I preach and for us as we listen, I just invite you to join me in praying for her and for that congregation out there, that God's word, truly here and there and around the world, would be heard. Gracious God, we do thank you for the privilege it is for us to gather to worship. And we thank you for brothers and sisters around the world who are gathering in churches and in homes and in office buildings and theaters, out under trees and all over the place, God, people gathering to worship you, to remember your faithfulness, your goodness, to listen for your word. We pray this morning, especially for us, that we would hear your word and respond in faith. And God, do lift up Lauren and First Covenant Church Seattle, that your word would be proclaimed boldly and well and heard deeply and responded to with joy. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So it is just so much going on. I saw that group going off yesterday, 39 students, and we've got 12 adults down there in Tennessee. Are excited for them, invite you to be praying for them. Covenant Pines again and again. We've got students going up there and hearing great reports. We just got a group back from the Czech Republic who were teaching English and sharing the good news. And I just heard this morning about one of the people that they were teaching over there who committed his life to Christ. And we have another one from the Czech Republic who came back with our group and is at Czech at this Covenant camp this week. So it's just neat to see the people of God here reaching out, doing good work. This week, we're continuing our series on the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And if you're anything like me, you only have at best looked at them sporadically, like this verse, this one, this. And this summer, it's really been great to be taking time each week to look at each one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Wednesday nights to be doing a Bible study where we're really going more in depth with it. And on Sunday mornings, talking about some of the principles that can make such a difference in our lives. Certainly did for the people thousands of years ago and certainly can today. Today we're going to be talking about the prophet Habakkuk. So maybe Habakkuk. I don't know if you've ever said it before, tried to say it before. I used to say, until this week, Habakkuk. No, Habakkuk. See, I can't even get it right the way I used to say it. And this week I decided I'm going to look online and see, you know, what they say is the right way to say it. And so the first one I looked at said Habakkuk, which is the way I've always said it. And then I looked at another one, and he said, and you can say it this way or this way. He said, and here's a really funny way to say it. And I clicked on the link, and it went to the first place that said it's Habakkuk. I'm like, oh, I'm really funny. I say Habakkuk. You know, like, only to a Hebrew scholar would how you say Habakkuk be hilarious. Last night, I called my daughter, Lauren, who's preaching this morning, because she's studying, in particular, Hebrew, and said, you know, how is it that you think? And she was looking at it, and she said it the right way, Habakkuk, although that's just us still in English saying Habakkuk. Anyway, but I just, you know, let you hear it for a second and let it sink in. Habakkuk. No, you typically in Hebrew emphasize the last syllable, not always, but most words. So say it with me, Habakkuk. Habakkuk. One more time, Habakkuk. So one person I read about said, you know, every family has one. And, of course, what I've been kind of keeps coming back to my mind is how our church, I want our church to be full of them. Kooks for Christ, or as Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians, or 1 Corinthians, fools for Christ. That's really what Habakkuk is talking about here, is that in the face of all of the challenges, the tragedies, the difficulties, the things we don't understand in our world, that we would be foolish enough in the world's eyes to believe in God, to trust God's word, to take God at his word, that we would be people of faith, of trust. In fact, most of the prophets we're talking about this summer, we've said how their message has been turned to the Lord. And always as a part of that is trust in the Lord. But for Habakkuk, the key is turn to the Lord. We already trust God. We say that every week when we come together, right? We trust in God. So we've turned to God. But what we need to do is trust God, especially when things get difficult. I'm wrestling with which way to start the next part because I know that there's a picture, and I'm going to go ahead and show it, of a fig tree. Because this is one of the key images that we find in the book of Habakkuk. And a fig tree brings back to me my family heritage. My dad loved fig trees. He planted one, took a cutting off of my Uncle Jack's tree, planted it in our yard, and every year my dad would go out and check on that tree to see how it was doing, and it grew, but it never bore fruit, and someday I'll preach a sermon on that, I guess, but I called my mom this past week, and I asked her about it, and she said, yeah, it was amazing. Year after year, he'd go out there, he loved that tree, took care of it, it never bore fruit until the year after he died, And then just boom, figs came out like crazy. But figs are important in my family, partly because my mom's side of the family, the Armenian side, figs are really an important part of many Middle Eastern cultures. In fact, for the Israelite people, the fig tree, even today, is an important symbol. It's the only tree we really know of that was in the Garden of Eden, because it was fig leaves that Adam and Eve used, right? So the fig tree has this long heritage. And certainly for my Armenian family, the fig tree, planting fig trees in the homes, the yards of the Armenian people when we come to the United States has been important, because then it's kind of this taste of home, this rooting that reminds you of the land where you were born. And for the Middle Eastern people, and certainly for the people of Israel and of Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, this sense of rooting was critically important in the midst of all the challenges that continually happened. And we've talked about how the Assyrians, back in 722, this great nation rose up and it just took over the whole of the known world at that time. It ravaged nations and subdued them and sent their people to other places so that they would never be seen again as the nation that they once were. And it's against that backdrop that the prophets are speaking, because these nations are rising up that are just destroying whole cultures, whole nations. They'll never be seen again. And so remembering our rooting for the Israelites was so important in the face of this. And so in 722, the Assyrians, this great nation, rose up and beat down the people of Israel. That's the northern kingdom. And nobody could imagine that this amazing kingdom, this violent kingdom, could ever be overcome. And yet in the seventh century, Assyria started to wane. And the Babylonians began to rise up. This amazing thing happens where the Babylonians, violent also, overwhelm the Assyrians. And finally in 605 BC, they overcome them completely. And then Judah becomes subjugated to them. It's important to know this, because Habakkuk, is writing at a time right when this transition is happening, just before it happens completely. And as the book begins, it's only three chapters long, he talks to God about why is it that Israel fell to the Assyrians? They were disciplined by you, and we've got wicked people here in Judah, and the prophecies of us falling haven't happened yet. Why is it, God, that discipline hasn't happened? And God responds to him, still in the first chapter of Habakkuk, saying, don't worry, I'm going to discipline Judah too. In fact, the Babylonians are rising up right now, and they are going to overcome your nation and destroy it. But it won't be the end. That promise is still true. And so then Habakkuk ask God again, well, Lord, I don't understand this. How could it be that the Babylonians, who are actually even more wicked than we are here in Judah, how could you have them discipline us? How could your justice come through people who are even more wicked than we are? And after asking this question, then Habakkuk just stops to wait for the answer of God. And I want to pick it up right there, because it's so important for us as we see the rising and the falling of nations and of empires through the history of the world. And as we see in our own lives, the times in which we feel like we're in control and things are going well, and those times when it seems like we're completely out of control. What's God's answer to us in the midst of all the changes in life? So this is Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. So I just want to stop there for a second. Just a note, what does Habakkuk do here? He stops and he listens. He's asked God questions. He's lamented about the troubles. But then he actually stops. He's still before God. Something really important for us to remember in the midst of our lives. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. So let's look at that last verse for just a moment. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right within them. Has that been your experience in life? You think about the proud people in our world, in your life, the people you've been around. They seem all puffed up. They pretend like they're in control of everything. But you get the sense that down deep inside, they're just this little immature child who isn't comfortable in their own skin. Does that make some sense? The proud often have to make sure you know how great they are because they're not so sure how great they are deep down inside. There's something just not right when we have to make sure everybody knows we're great. When we have to toot our own horns all the time. When we have to put down other people to make ourselves feel better. We know that that's just not right. There's something not right in us when we have to put other people down. We have to make things worse for somebody else because we want more pie for ourselves and we don't believe there's enough pie. There's enough generosity in God's creation for everyone. And so we cling to our own. We become envious. We are wicked and evil toward others. There's something just not right within us. But the righteous live by their faith. Their foundation is not the sinking sand of their own abilities, of their own immortality, of their own wisdom. Their foundation is the sure foundation of the Lord, their God. They live by faith. Like Psalm 46 talks about, God is our refuge, our fortress. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. We don't fear because God is our sure foundation. And so, when things go bad, the righteous live by their faith. When they don't understand, like we see with Habakkuk here, God, I don't understand how the world is working, how you're working out your purpose and the history of what I see going on. When they don't understand, Habakkuk, the righteous live by their faith. When they lament, when they, as Habakkuk does here, complain to God, talk about how difficult life is, even then the righteous live by their faith. This is the key message from this minor prophet. And it is a message that is every bit as important for the people of God today, for you and for me today, as it ever was. The righteous live by their faith. And that's why after he goes through chapter 3 talking about this vision he has of God coming in with as this conquering warrior king, overcoming evil completely. After all of this, he ends the whole book by saying, though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. This is back to that key verse, the righteous live by their faith. In the midst of all the changes and the challenges of life, the ups and the downs that we, every single one of us, experience, in the midst of our questions, in the midst of it all, the righteous live by their faith. And I think as we look to Habakkuk, we can see some key things, five things that for me just keep on coming out as key ways for us to live by faith today. And the first thing that we see Habakkuk doing is he looks to God. I mean, some have talked about this book as being one of a person who doubts, who's questioning God, who's not sure if God. It's not a person who doesn't believe in God. This is a person who does believe in God, and that's why he looks to him. That's why he talks to him. That's why Habakkuk actually questions God and wrestles with God. He looks to God. I love the way chapter 2 starts out, where he talks about going to his watch post, and just as Psalm 46 says, he is going to be still and know who God is. You know, there are some things that we just cannot figure out in our own wisdom. Jesus says to Peter, after Peter has said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God," Jesus praises him. He says, "That's so great, Peter, because you have not learned this because of, you know, human beings haven't shown you this, but my Father who is in heaven." See, what we really need is not just all of our human wisdom. The wisdom of our world is like foolishness to God. What we truly need is this word from God, the revelation from God. God's the only one who can open up our hearts and our minds to truly believe, to truly walk in faith. We need to listen for God's word and to let it in. The word of God is this food that we need to not just study and put up on the walls and dissect, but we need to take in. We need to be still and know who God is and let God's word flow into us. We need, secondly, to live by faith, they're going to remember the vision. We need desperately to remember the vision that God has given us. This goes back to Abraham. Remember in chapter 12 of Genesis. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing.'" See, God gave his promise, his vision to Abram as he headed out. In the very beginning, this is the promise, the vision of God. And it's a vision that continues throughout. Over and over again, God reinforces that I will be faithful, that I'm going to accomplish my purpose, that you can trust me here. So that from the beginning in Genesis all the way to the end in Revelation, we hear these promises of God and we need to remember them. "After this I looked," this is from Revelation chapter 7, "and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the throne, before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the lambs, to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.'" You see, God has given us this promise, this vision that we need to keep in mind always. When things are great and when things go terribly wrong. In between services, I spoke with a couple of people who have lost loved ones just in recent months, and we talked about how important it is for them in this time of grief to remember the vision, that there is a world yet to be, that there's a promise yet to be fulfilled, that we can trust God in the midst of it all. Remember the vision. Though it would seem to tarry, wait for it. God is not slow in his promise, Peter tells us, but is forbearing toward us, not wishing that any should perish. God will fulfill the vision. We can trust him on this. So the righteous, they look to God. They look to the Lord. They remember. They rejoice in the Lord. And I think this is the place where that vision brings us, right? When we remember the vision, when we remember the Lord, then we begin to rejoice in the Lord. And I think of the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. And he begins to sing. Peter does this. Others do this. They begin to praise God. They remember the vision, and they begin to give thanks. They do as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Or as he says to the Philippians in chapter 4, as he writes to them from prison himself, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." When you look to the Lord, when you remember the promises, the vision that God has given you, practice rejoicing in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. As those circumstances change, practice rejoicing in the Lord. This is the will of God, Paul tells us, in Christ Jesus for us. Look to the Lord, remember the vision, rejoice in the Lord, and then be strong in the Lord. Those who are righteous, they are strong in the Lord. Paul's not strong in his ability to get out of prison. He's strong in the Lord as he sits there in prison. In fact, this has been so true in my life again and again. When I begin rejoicing in the Lord, I begin getting stronger in the Lord. Have you ever experienced that? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that's what he tells us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I want to invite you actually to do these things in sequence. Look to the Lord, remember the vision, begin to rejoice in God's faithfulness, his promises, his power, his love. Begin to rejoice in that, and that very joy will give you strength. Be strong in the Lord. That's what, I could keep going on. Philippians 4, where Paul talks about being content. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. And then at the end of that, where he talks about the different circumstances, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So in the midst of all those changing circumstances, be strong in the Lord. Remember that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. And then finally, be courageous. The righteous live by their faith. They are courageous. This has been true ever since Abraham had to step out from Haran. This has been true when God spoke to Joshua. He's taking over from Moses. Can you imagine trying to fill those shoes? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. And for me, this is what that final verse, that final verse in this book of Habakkuk gets at so wonderfully, where he says, I'm in Zephaniah, that's the problem.
That's next week.
God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. And over again, as I've been meditating on this passage the last few weeks, what has come to my mind is how God calls me again and again into situations in which I feel vulnerable. And he gives me what I need to walk there. He gives me what I need to run there. He gives me what I need to tread upon high places. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I can't do it, but God can do this. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so let us go forward hearing this word of God from Habakkuk to be courageous, to run along the heights. I love the vision that Jonna painted. I don't know if you mentioned in the sermon or just over the week to me, but being in Montana and seeing that group of goats, mountain goats we might mention, who were all nice and resting, and then they got scared and they started to run, and they ran right along the cliff face like it was nothing. From the youngest to the oldest, they ran across there, the feet of a deer on the heights. By God's grace, this is our privilege. Maybe a little scary at times, but we can look to the Lord. We can remember God's promises, remember the vision that God has given us. Keep that forefront in your mind. Rejoice in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And yes, let us be courageous. Let us step out into this week ahead. Let us step out into this world that seems to have gone crazy. Let us step out living by our faith in God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, of Jacob, of my grandmother and my dad, of the pastors and the people who have served here at Salem and wherever other churches you've been through the years. This is our time. This is our day for us to run upon the heights, to do the work that God is calling us to do, to trust in the Lord, to live by faith to the glory of God and the good of this world that God loves so much. Would you pray with me? God, you do make our feet like the feet of a deer. You enable us to run upon the heights. We praise you. Grant us the grace to live by faith in you. And by the power, your power at work within us and among us, enable us to accomplish abundantly far more than we know to ask or to imagine, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mark. What a great reminder. Whatever the path is that you are called to walk right now, God has the ability to give you the feet to walk that path, to give you the strength and the abilities and the understanding and the hope and the courage to do that. So he can do that through faith. So use that faith. Step out into that. Thanks, Mark. Now is that time in our service where we continue in worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Another act of faith as we let go just of a little bit of what God has given us, saying we know it's all from you and we want you to use this for our world. If you're a visitor with us today, please feel no pressure to give, but if you'd like to join us in giving, do so with joy. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul as he wrote a letter to the Corinthian church. Your giving results in an overflowing tide of thanksgiving to God. Moreover, your very giving proves the reality of your faith. And that means that others thank God that you practice the gospel that you profess to believe in, even as they thank God for the gifts themselves. Be blessed as you give.
I pray that the song will stay with you through this week, like this message. It goes like this.
I know I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. With the power of God and the word of life, I can do all things. Yes, I can do all things through Christ. Yes, I can, and I know I can do all things. Be sure of the victory when
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and be your foundation for all of life and the joy with which you run and serve the Lord. Amen.